Old Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they, unfortunately, cannot, so we have to go there for them. Welcome to the program. It is a speedball of sometimes very serious hillbilly humor, and by hillbilly, what I'm saying really is that it is top-of-the-line, high-level intellectual satire. On the show tonight, we're going to be talking with Rick Shadova, who will be discussing with us the latest Supreme Court ruling on immigration. We have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to discuss tipping, waitresses. One waitress in particular doesn't work for Ted, but this woman went on her Facebook page and said that if she doesn't get tipped well, she's going to spit in people's food, and she lost her job. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And why do I mention that to you? Because with a backstage pass, you can see all the fantastic live streaming video of our show, Phil TV and HD, which we have every night. You can also access thousands of hours of archived material. You can also access thousands of hours of miscellaneous video archived material, television pilots, television interviews, interviews of all kinds. It's all there on the Phil Hendry website. When I say thousands of hours, I mean over a decade. And while you're there, click on our podcast banner of the free Phil Hendry podcast. So if you don't yet have a backstage pass, you want to hear a little bit of what we do, check out the free Phil Hendry podcast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining me is Rick Shadova from Tucson, Arizona tonight. And we're going to talk with Rick because he's a listener of ours. He listens to The Jolt in Tucson and is also in a state that has obviously been very, very concerned with illegal immigration. Now, Rick, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on this program this evening.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a machinist. I own a machine shop.
You own a machine shop in Tucson?
That is correct, yes.
And tell me your stand on the illegal immigrant question or on the immigration question. We know that the Supreme Court ruled sort of in a divided ruling. They struck down a lot of the provisions of the Arizona immigrant bill, or the Arizona immigrant law, I should say, but also upheld a police officer's right to ask somebody for their immigration papers or status. What's your, as a citizen of Arizona, what's your take on that?
Right. I think my first feeling on this is that it's probably not a very common opinion that that I've got, about this. I know most of the people in my state are very much, in favor of SB 107, but I have never been. And that is because I think that when you look at America, it's a country that is built on immigration. And I think that to be hostile to immigrants, I think, is wrong. And I don't think it's the American way,
I understand that, but there's a lot of questions about illegal immigration and how people get into this country. And so much of what the Arizona legislation, the Arizona bill, the Arizona law is about, is trying to stem that tide.
All right. But if you think about it, there's no real, if America is built on immigration and America is built on the rights of immigrants, then there's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people, I think, that want you to be here,
You don't think there's illegal immigrants in America?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, think about what America stands for, and think about what America has always stood for, is about the freedom of people around the world,
But we have laws, and of course Arizona is a great example of, the contention that there is.
Right. I understand the contention about the immigration question, but I don't think that people are being smart about it. I mean, if you think about it, do you really think that there's such a thing as illegal immigration when a country is as wonderful as America? I'm an immigrant myself. I'm from the Republic of Ireland. I was born in County Meath. I came here at a time when the economy in Ireland was not as good as it is today, and of course it's up and down, but I came to America for a fresh start, and I'm very grateful for that.
You came here legally, didn't you?
Well, I came here. Originally, I did not come here legally, but I did go back and establish my, got a visa, had had to come to America through Mexico because I didn't have a visa.
So you were working here in the United States illegally?
Yes, I was for quite some time. But I, you know, I had to do that because I wasn't sure how this country is going to treat me. And I didn't know that, you know, whether it was a place I wanted to live. And I think a lot of immigrants come here not really sure if this is the place for them or not. You know, they've heard so much about America. And of course, I heard so much about America all of my life. When I came here, like a lot of immigrants, I wasn't sure whether I would like this place or not, you know. And so that's when I decided, all right, I'm going to give it a go, you know. And I.
So you came here illegally, Rick, and stayed here for how long?
I was here probably about 10 years illegally, you know, because
you were 10 years.
Yes, sir, and off and on, you know. But like I said, I came back into the country of through Mexico by way of just as a border tourist, you know. And but once I was pretty sure that America was the place for me, that I went back to Ireland and applied for a green card, you know, and I came back to the United States and made a go of it here, and I've got a good business now, you know.
Let me ask you something. Our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We just have a one of our listeners on the Jolt in Tucson, Rick Shadova. He is, you're from Ireland.
Yes, sir. I'm from the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, and you're not from Northern Ireland, I know. You're from Ireland, and from that country you came here first illegally. Now, I want to ask you this question because of what you said, obviously, is going to pique the interest of a lot of people. Immigrants are here to try the country out.
Yeah, it's a concept I don't think, it might be a difficult concept to get at first blush because obviously you try a lot of things out. If you're going to try out a product, I don't know, you know, it could be anything, but it's probably not quite understandable or applicable, I guess, when it comes to a country. But America is such a popular place. America is such a beloved place to people everywhere, or at least it's a place that's interesting to a lot of people, you know, that they have to come here and live here for a while and try the feel of the country, you know, almost like you're trying on a coat or something, and see whether or not this is a place that you're going to be happy. And you don't want to come here going through a lot of legal steps that are going to be very involved, may cost you a lot of money, and you might not be successful in obtaining entrance into the country anyway. It's better to come and to get a feel of the country, and then you come back to America. And
then you come back to America legally. See, here's the thing. So what you want me to understand, I guess, is that people come here illegally in many ways to try the place out.
That's it, Phil. I think it's a very simple way of saying it, but I think it's true, you know. And I know that probably as hard as that is to understand for some people, I think Americans are noted good consumers, and it's a kind of a simple way of looking at this, you know, to say, well, it's a consumer issue.
Well, I mean, it's a lot more than a consumer issue because we have so many people that come here illegally. Then you have the discussion of crime, and a lot of people want us to believe that a lot of that crime is the result of illegal immigrants.
Well, that's just people being stupid, isn't it, though? You know,
it's what?
I said it's just people being stupid, though, isn't it? Because if you look at the statistics and so forth, it's not, you're not... You don't have illegal immigrants committed that much crime.
All right, going back to your original point, then we're going to take a break. Our number 877-876-PHIL here with Rick Shadova. Your original point was there's no such thing as illegal immigration.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
What? And again, give that to me again.
I think in the case of America, not maybe any other country. I can't name any other country, but I think in the case of America, you know, it's... It's a country that it doesn't have illegal immigrants. It's got people that want to be here, you know.
And you don't think that our laws, if someone comes in violation of our laws, whether it's a state law or federal law, that's an illegal immigrant?
Not if you really think about it, you know. I mean, think about it, you know. You've got to just be honest with yourself. You know,
what does that mean, be honest with myself? We have laws federally.
You know, there's think about it, it's not. There are really no illegal immigrants. You know?
No, we have law. We have federal laws. We have state laws opposing illegal immigration, and some people come here in violation of those laws. You don't think those are illegal immigrants?
Not if you think about it, because look at it the way that an immigrant looks at it. But just look at it logically. There's really no illegal immigrants. There's just a lot of people that are here that want to be here that haven't yet filled out the paperwork, if you want to say it. And then there are people that are here that have filled out the paperwork, you know. But I think if you're honest with yourself, you think about it.
I'm being honest with myself.
I don't think entirely. I don't think you're entirely being honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself, you know that there's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people that, have done all that paperwork, you know.
And no, I do believe there's illegal immigrants.
Think about it. Think about it.
Well, I'm thinking, all right, let me take a break. Think about it. What's the thing about? There's illegal immigrants. It's one of the reasons why we've got this problem here in Arizona and elsewhere. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Rick Shadova with us. We're talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about it from the standpoint of one of our listeners who's an immigrant from Ireland. He lives in the Tucson, Arizona area right now and is gainfully employed and is legal, but at one time was not. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Rick Shadova in Tucson, Arizona. Rick is a citizen of Arizona, and it doesn't mean that we're precluding the conversation from reaching people all over the country, but Arizona's law is what was being argued in the Supreme Court. And Rick, obviously you have a slightly different view from most people in Arizona. You are not in favor of this law, correct?
No, I don't think I've ever been in favor of any law that restricts the immigration to America. You know, you have to understand, you know, this is a country that has got the Statue of Liberty, you know, and so how can you say there's illegal immigration? You know,
there's illegal immigration because of the laws that are in place.
No, I understand about the laws. I know that there's laws, but, these laws are, I think, put there for a lot of people that don't want to have no immigrants around. But if you think long and hard about it, and I think if you, you know, like I've got my own business here, you know.
That, do you hire illegals in your business?
I mean, I hire people. I don't know if they're illegal or not, but I hire some good people, good machinists, and my philosophy is there's no real illegal immigrants. There's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people who have minds that it's probably, I don't mean to be rude, but there's no illegal immigrants. There's just people whose minds should be maybe made illegal, you know, the way they think and their prejudices.
All right, 877-876-7445 is a number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call here on the line, and we have Ross. Go ahead, Ross. You're on with Rick Shadova. Go ahead.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir.
Basically, my comment is a sanctioned body of individuals who represent our country, represent us as American citizens, put forth a law that sets a process for individuals to enter the country. If you do not follow that process, you are in violation of that law, which is illegal. These are facts. The gentleman's thinking theory and you know, theory is, mm-hmm. you know, each individual's right, but mm-hmm. when a sanctioned group of individuals who represent a country put forth a law that it sets forth a process that is required for people to live in our country long-term or permanent legally, that's a law. I mean, yeah, you can go theoretical and say, well, you got the Statue of Liberty. Your country stands for freedom. Your country stands for nation for one and all, which is all that's true. But We elect certain people to represent us as our government. They set forth laws for us as a society and citizens to adhere to.
Well, what if they make a mistake? What if they make a mistake, though? You know?
What does that mean? What
if they make
a mistake?
If they make a mistake, they change the laws. It's amended. But the laws, and that's exactly what they're trying to do in Arizona. You know,
right.
The governor of Arizona thought there was a mistake in the federal law. So what did she do? She made adjustments to her state's laws. You know, that is what is they make a mistake. Laws are meant to be adhered to. It is a societal thing. It's societal.
She made a mistake.
What do you mean if she made a mistake?
Right.
Society would, you know, it's like saying, well,
murder. I'm not saying no murder. You know, I know those laws are important, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, how can you say there's illegal immigrants? You know, because we're all here. You know, and
because there are.
You know,
that's like saying, how can you say there's illegal
murderers? We're doing our thing.
Right.
How can you say
exactly.
There's illegal murderers?
Well, no, but I mean, murder. You know, murderers. We all agree is.
It's a law.
You have to
a
stop.
Law is a law.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where you. That's the separation you're having.
Yes, sir.
A law is a law, and a theory
right.
Based upon, you know, the Statue of Liberty and the land of the free. Yeah, that's
like,
true and all, but that's not law. Now,
like
the way you
speeding,
enter
you know?
This country is a law. When you go to the airport, there's a reason they check your credentials.
What about
there's
speeding?
There's a reason
you know?
They check your credentials at the airport and the border.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been laws right. established by the people who represent us as citizens. For people
yeah.
to join us
yeah.
as citizens in a legal way.
But I mean, if
they're
you think
laws.
About
there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're laws. And if you break any law that has been written, it's illegal. That is an illegal
what about,
act. Any law.
What about jaywalking? How about jaywalking?
That?
You know,
that's
what do you mean jaywalking? You mentioned jaywalking and you mentioned.
Yeah. See, they don't tell
law.
You. You can jaywalk all you want, though. You know? That's
yeah,
what
you
I mean.
Can. And you know what?
Yeah.
Some laws are enforced, and some laws are not enforced. That's just the way it is. Some laws
well,
are enforced more vigorously than others.
I think
others.
It's like jaywalking,
that
you know?
Is. But when you
but
jaywalk,
I mean, I
you're still breaking a law. It's just the
but
fact.
Don't you think, but don't you think, sir, that, you know, the immigration, illegal immigration like jaywalking, you know, a lot of people do.
No, completely different.
And
completely different,
and
because illegal immigration has impact on our society. It has impact on our crime levels. It has impact on our, you know, many different
like,
aspects of our financial situation.
Don't put money
in
the parking meter, you know. If you don't put money in the parking meter.
Yeah,
well, you're coming up with all these.
You're
coming up with a lot
of
examples.
Anytime
you
do
yeah.
anything
but nobody
that
cares.
Is against the law, you're illegal.
Exactly. So what is your point, Rick?
Be it jaywalking, be it murder, be it if you're in Singapore, you throw gum on the sidewalk, guess what? You just broke their law. I find that to be a frivolous, ridiculous law, but guess what? I won't be throwing gum on the sidewalk in Singapore.
Well, I don't think I'll ever be in Singapore, you know. I hope not.
My
because
point is, laws are laws, and they're meant to be adhered. So.
Yeah. Adhere to, yeah.
There's no illegal aliens. That's your theory, and that's all that.
But that's
is strictly
that's like,
a theory.
That's like it's like if you say there's the illegal aliens, you know. I mean, I hear I've got my machine shop here, you know, and we do. I'm probably the best machinist in Tucson, you know, because of the experience I had working on machinery and this and that in Ireland. But maybe they're illegal and maybe they're not. And, like, who cares, you know?
You've got a fair attitude, you know,
you
about this.
You might want to be careful what you say because, you know, what if they come to your establishment and check the records on your employees and find you're riddled with illegals? Then you're in violation.
Well, I mean, I don't think they do that.
That is a
because
total possibility.
Have,
if you don't check
I
the credentials
to...
of the people you're hire, you are in violation.
No, but if you think about it, seriously, they're not going to do that, you know, because...
Okay.
A lot of orders.
All right.
A lot of business.
You're
okay, listen, thank you very much for your call. Ross, got to move on here. 877-876-PHIL. That is Ross. As we talk here about illegal immigration, and on the line with me is Rick Sadova from Tucson. And I'm not really sure, just like the preceding caller, Rick Sadova, he's saying, if you think about it, there's no real illegal immigrants. That's Rick's point of view. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. That's Phil. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with more and philhenryshow.com. Check us out over there, too, our Phil TV at HD.
Think about it, you know, if I come here illegally, I guess, but I'm still here, you know, and that way I'm an American.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Welcome back this Monday night. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about the Arizona immigration law, which has been under review by the state Supreme Court. On the line with me from Tucson is one of our listeners on our local affiliate there in Tucson, KJLL The Jolt, and that is Rick Shadova. And Rick, you know, it's interesting. I don't think we actually selected you because you're an immigrant to this country. I think it was because you're a listener to our show. But you were saying that the immigration law in America is one that, yeah, we have it, but it's kind of like jaywalking and it's kind of like speeding, and so therefore shouldn't be enforced. And I think the last caller made it very clear. They are laws. They do need to be enforced. That they are not enforced has more to do with a sort of a selective reasoning, I guess, or of law enforcement, or the fact that we don't have the manpower.
Okay, you know, Phil, that's a good excuse, I guess. I don't mean to say, you know, that you're not being honest, but look at the laws.
But it's true. These are laws that are on the books.
Yeah, and the immigration laws on the books too, but. How important, is this immigration law when you look at, how much they are going to enforce, you know, if you don't put money in a meter. And I work close to downtown, and sometimes I'm in and out of some of the businesses there, and a lot of times I don't even put money in the meter, you know, and a lot of times I come out and my car doesn't have a ticket. You know, I do tend to drive a little fast on the freeways because of the fact that I come from Europe, we're used to a little more of a freewheeling whale on the roads, I guess. I'm not saying it's the safest thing, but regularly I probably drive about 90, 95 miles an hour, sometimes 100 miles an hour if I'm up on the interstate, because this part of Arizona is, you know, very lightly traveled.
So what you're telling me is you're constantly breaking laws.
I'm constantly breaking laws, but they're not laws that anyone's going to, get crazy about. And I'm just saying, if you think about America as a country of immigrants, why are they going to get crazy about the immigration laws? Like I can jaywalk, and I do a lot of jaywalking, you know. And so I think that people are not using their common sense. Just use your common sense.
And I'm using my common sense, and here's what my common sense tells me. A law is on the books. It needs to be enforced. The jaywalking law is there so people are not hit by cars and killed. The speeding law is there so individuals are not driving so fast they are reckless and endanger the lives of others.
Hold on, because the jaywalking law is not going to save whose life is it? If that guy gets run over, who cares, you know?
Well, but even someone jaywalking, hit by another automobile, causes that automobile to go out of control and could endanger the lives of other people. Parking meter laws are there. You have to put the coin in because you're taking up valuable parking space while other people are looking for a place to park. You have a certain amount of time. You want to buy more time. You got to put in the coins. That's just the way it is, okay? 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me again is Rick Shadova from Tucson, Arizona. Let's get a phone call here. And again, we're talking about the Arizona immigration law. Here is Jose. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
I'm from New York, and I'm a legal immigrant. Actually, I've been living here almost like 22 years in the States.
You're illegal or legal?
Legal.
Okay.
Okay.
I came here illegally first. Did you come here illegally first?
No, I came here legally.
The first time, though, that you came here. How did you know you were going to like it here? I mean, why did you?
I'm sorry. Say what?
How did you know you were even going to like it here? Why didn't you come here and try it out first, you know.
Whether I'm liking it or not, whether I would settle down here or not, that's the question. And I think I came through legal process and I became a legal citizen. But I think what you're telling, actually, you're telling the emotional side of the story, actually, that, you know, if you like it, you will stay no matter what the law or not. But that's not how
sure.
this country is being seen by the people who are living here, actually, you know. This country was not the country for you and me in the first place, or not given for the people who are claiming to be the American in the first place. This country belonged to Indians. So if we see that way, basically everybody in this country is illegal. If you
right.
go through
that's
that
a good
way,
point. That's
you know,
a
if
good
you
point.
See
I
that
like
way, then yes, you have to make that clear.
Yes.
But you're pointing out that, you know,
it doesn't make any sense,
here
you know?
And all sorts of things are here, and that's why it should
yeah.
be an you know, legal.
But look at,
you have to see
look at how stupid
legal
that is, you know.
Whether we could be legal or not. And, Phil, I think there is also one part of the thing that is coming here illegally is not an illegal thing in this country, but coming here illegally and staying illegal is a problem in this country. You could come here illegally, but that doesn't mean you're breaking a law. You're breaking a law once you're
well, but if you come here illegally, but however, if you come here illegally and they find out, then you can be turned right around
that's
and sent
saying,
back. In other words, for instance, hold on. Hold on. It may not be breaking the law, but if you walk into the country and they say, oh, guess what? You just came through our border thing and you're here illegally. Goodbye. For you know, we've seen this happen with stowaways.
They have the prerogative. Yes, you're right about that. That's what my point is. That, but you cannot stay here.
That's immoral. But to me, that's immoral, you know, Phil, because I'll tell you why.
Why is that immoral?
It's immoral because if you look at the reality of the country, like the man said, the first people was Indians. Weren't they? And everybody else here is illegal, you know. And so,
well, come on, will you? I mean, we have this.
Phil, my point was not being like, okay, everybody's illegal now. You know, that was back then when civilization was getting established in this country. You know, there's rules and regulations after that, and even though you come here as illegal, but you have to establish yourself as a legal representative of this country. You just cannot be illegal walking around doing
right,
whatever you want. You know, the civil society
right
doesn't
do
work like that way.
That's not right to do, though. You should be able to come here and just put down your roots and prove yourself, you know. And
not even have to show a passport, nothing.
Why? You know,
that's
what
that's completely
said, you know?
Wrong. I don't support that, actually, Phil.
What do you
I
mean?
Don't.
Well, no, but this other gentleman, Rick, you do?
I thought that this gentleman made a very good point, you know, and he said that, you know, the Indians was here and all the rest of us is illegal, you know. And now,
no, but the process
saying,
has been, it was there when the Indians were ruling the country, but after that we have established a civic society. There's rules and regulations that how we abide by. A civic society doesn't apply non-illegal things. It applies things that works for the society and the betterment of everybody, you and me.
That's kind of dumb,
you know?
Though, you know.
What's dumb?
Well, it's kind of dumb, you know, if you say to someone, welcome to America, and there's the Statue of Liberty and all of this, you know, and then the next thing you know, he's telling you, you know, what, don't want your doors closed. That's stupid, you know. I think if you think about it, everybody would say that's stupid.
Well, I just don't agree with that, and I know that this gentleman, I'm not sure exactly
either,
where you're
Phil.
Coming from.
Phil, I think that's
you
the
don't?
Moral part of your guest is telling, you know, that's understandable. You
no,
know,
no, but I, well, you see, sir, I think you originally came on to support me, and now Mr. Henry's changed your mind or something because...
No, really. It's not that I'm supporting you or not supporting you. I'm supporting because I'm thinking about straight faith, you know, like it's legal.
What do you think about stowaways? Like, if a man came in as a stowaway, what do you think should happen to that man? I think he should
be
let into the country.
What?
Listen, if
what? Why would you let us...
staying here, then you are breaking a law. There's a rule.
What if the guy's a stowaway and he has... bubonic plague.
Oh, that's like that movie Panic in the Streets. That's not going to...
Well, it might be like the movie Panic in the Streets. What if you got an illegal stowaway who has got bubonic plague or some disease?
See, that's perpetrating a stereotype, though, you know, that all the immigrants are spelled bad and they got disease, you know. That's wrong.
Okay. You know, anyway, Jose, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
877-876-Phil. Let's go to another phone call here. We got Jason. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Jason.
Yes. I'd just like to ask you, Mr. Shadova. I'd just like to ask.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What would they do if we went to their country? What would they do to us if we were coming in illegally or not supposed to be there?
Well, they probably say that, you know, you come from America, you've got everything you need in America. What are you doing here? You know, get out of here.
Okay,
get out,
so
you know, or put you in prison.
Okay, so you just admitted my point. So if you come here, why don't you just go ahead and get your legal right instead of coming over here illegally? Because if you come over here legal, you don't have nothing to worry about. But why come out here and try it out illegally?
Right.
You know, to try it out, if you just said it's better over here than over there.
Well, see, here's the deal, you know. If I come to America, nobody in America is going to say to me, you know, Rick, why don't you go back to Ireland? It's so much better there. Because everyone in America knows that Ireland is a, you know, it's a crap hole, you know. If you're American, you go to Ireland, and they say, why do you come here? Because America's so much better than Ireland. And they'll kick you out or put you in prison.
Wait a minute. You see, again, this is the emotional thing. You're telling me that because we're Americans, if we try to illegally get into Ireland, we'll be thrown in prison because we come from a country.
You come from a country that has a lot, all right? And if I come to America, no one in America is going to say, go back to Ireland because your country's so great, because everyone knows Ireland's a toilet, you know? So that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say to people. They don't understand, you know. It's a difficult concept, but it's one that I think, if you think about it.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And nobody bases your immigration status in this country on whether you come from a crap hole.
But what about the political immigrants and that kind of thing? You know, they come from, like, Cuba. You say they come from a crap can like Cuba, let them come in. But if they come from a great place like, you know, I don't know, England, you know, or someplace like that, well, then you can't. And I think that's stupid.
But we welcome everybody in with open arms, you know, to where you should come in and be able to start your life over. Why can't other countries treat us with the same respect?
Well, because you've already got a great country, sir, don't you? You've got a country that you already have. It's a great country, America. And
but
so
other countries, other countries are great too. So why couldn't we go to other countries? You get what I'm saying?
Name one.
Ireland's a nice country. Canada's a nice country.
Ireland's a hellhole. Ireland's
where my ancestors came from, and they're not hellholes. They are definitely, they're good individuals.
Well, that might be, but guess what? Your ancestors didn't stay there now, did they? And they come over here, you know why? Because
Ireland's
a hellhole.
Everybody loves
it's
to
a
drink,
dirty.
Ireland's the drinking capital of the world.
If you're an alcoholic and a drunk, then I say go to Ireland. But if you want to have a good life, then you don't want to live there.
So what is so bad about
ancestors? Your ancestors are a lot smarter than you, sir.
All right.
Why? What's so bad about Ireland?
All right. Anyway, we're not going to start debating the relative merits of Ireland, you know.
Well, Ireland's just the toilet. You said your ancestors come from Ireland, sir?
Yes, because they were seeking better work. They never said nothing was wrong with the country. They were seeking better work.
But let me ask you something. Are you as smart as them, sir?
Yes, I'm very smart.
You are? Then why would
yes.
you be asking what's wrong with Ireland? They left Ireland, and you're not wondering why they're leaving Ireland. You're asking me about why I think Ireland's a toilet bowl. It sounds to me I'd like to meet your ancestors, sir, but you got a lot to learn, sir.
All right.
But
okay.
Anyway,
we're not here to debate the merits of Ireland. You know, we're here to debate the merits of the immigration law, okay, and whether or not the immigration law is a viable law. This gentleman, Rick Shadova, talking about, you know, America, a land of immigrants, and a place where we don't have illegal immigrants, regardless.
I mean, if you think about that last guy, Mr. Henry, he's talking about Ireland. Is this what's wrong with Ireland? Is Ireland a toilet bowl? And
well, but he was trying to, he said, why can't I go to Ireland?
He can go to Ireland if he wants to. Go to Ireland and he can live there. He can live there in his own waste if he wants to. You know, if you go to Ireland, Mr.
Nobody's talking about going to Ireland and living in their own waste, you know?
That's exactly what you'll be doing if you go to Ireland. And you talk to that man, and what he's going to do is he's going to immigrate to Ireland, and he's going to be living in a pit of his own filth after about 6 months. I can guarantee you that.
All right, hold the line here, Rick. Rick Shadova with us, an Irish immigrant here in the United States. You know, I got to tell you, it's refreshing hearing from an immigrant other than, shall we say, one from Latin America or the Middle East or, you know, a third world part of the world. We're listening to a man here from Ireland, but he's making the place sound like it's third world. 87 live in a pit of your own filth. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh,
you now. You think that I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding at all.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we're on here with Rick Shadova from the Republic of Ireland. This is a gentleman who is an immigrant to this country and is in favor of, is actually, you're more an immigrant rights guy. You were opposed to the Arizona bill, Rick. You've been talking, as a lot of people have been saying, a lot of theory here about how you don't believe, you know, America is anything other than a country of immigrants, and so therefore anti-immigrant law, or I shouldn't call it anti-immigrant, laws that restrict immigration, laws that that establish a legal standard for immigration, these laws are not laws that should be in existence. Now, what you said further was very interesting. When that gentleman asked you, how come people in America, you know, what would people think of a people in America going to their country illegally, you say they would have a legitimate beef because America's better?
Like right now, you know, Mr. Hendry, I'm in my business, and I've got my employees here, and everyone's working hard. We're making money, and we're turning out a good product, and I'm here legally, but I came here illegally. And lived here for 10 years illegally, you know. And that's because I wanted to try out and see whether America is a good country or not.
No, I understand that. But what about the reverse? If somebody wanted to go to Ireland?
If someone wants to go to Ireland from America, then they obviously are not very educated because it's a stupid thing to do, you know. You go to Ireland and you live a horrifying life in Ireland. You know, the poverty and all of the overpopulation and that.
But wait, I thought Ireland was Ireland has moved past all of those economic, all of that horrible economic devastation that was visited upon that country for so long as the result of centuries of opposition to British rule, and then finally getting their independence and having to muck their way through all of that stuff. I thought Ireland has become a very productive and economically successful country.
Well, that's what you hear, and I think in some parts of the country it might be true, but you still, on any given day in Ireland, you're going to see women walking down the street. You've got a lot of babies and a lot of alcoholics, and that man made the point about drinking. I think if you're an American, you like to drink.
No, I think you're giving a stereotype here of Ireland that isn't true.
Well, I don't... Where I come from, that's the way it was, you know. And like the man said, you know, a lot of people like to drink in Ireland. That's right. If you're American, like to drink, I go to Ireland.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know. To me, what you're saying is not true. It's a stereotype. It's one that has been, you know, it's one that's been promoted for a long time. Here's Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, interesting side note to what I was going to say. I actually have a friend who would have been considered an illegal immigrant living in Ireland years ago, and he was greeted with nothing but, you know, warmth and affection from the people. He was given a job, you know, working illegally at a pub.
Interesting.
And he basically was over there visiting with friends, and then he was supposed to move on to England, where he got a job offer in the music industry. Whatever, decide to pass on an overstated visa.
Oh, sure, you're going to find, they're going to embrace you if you want to work in a pub, you know. They want to have someone in a pub, but treat you like a, you know, treat you, they're still going to treat you like a dog, you know. You have to live in a basement or something, and they can turn you in, you know.
Yeah. What do you mean treat you like a dog?
His situation might have been a little different, given that he had friends there, you know, already who were Irish, you know,
well, that's true, but those Irish people, sure, but Irish people turn on you, too. The minute you get there, they treat you like a dog, like an animal.
Wait a minute,
well,
you know, we're going to discuss
anywhere in the world, but,
yeah, go ahead with your bigger point, Chris.
If you work at a pub, you know,
the bigger point that I wanted to bring
like
up
an animal.
Is, that, you know, what we were talking about just before the break about, you know, the illegal search and basically allowing the police to stop anyone that they could potentially suspect as being an immigrant, an illegal immigrant. And I think that's really dangerous. I think that sends us down a really dangerous road, and I don't think it's right. I think there should be. I personally think that our process of investigation and the research that we put in, you know, whether it be federal or at the state level, is good that we've developed this process since the foundation of the FBI or the founding of the FBI. I think we've gotten really smart with it, and I think we can figure this out if we really want to ensure that, you know, illegal immigrants, you know, in that respect, aren't able to find employment or whatever.
That's right.
You know, then
I agree with that, Phil.
Then that's the way that that's the way that we really need to go about it. But
the problem with
this clause is, where does this stop? And how do they decide who is an illegal immigrant? And how does that not lead to racial profiling?
It turns into a police state, doesn't it?
I'm going to go off the wall, and I'm going to assume that you're white. So the chances, unless they hear your accent,
I'm not a white man. I'm a black man, which is what's going to keep me safe in this country, you see, because as a black man, they'll never think I'm Irish.
I think this is more, I think the American people, I wonder if illegal immigrants
as an
object.
Being black, I'm a lot safer than I would be being Irish. Being a white Irishman, I wouldn't, if I was America, I would not want them here. And I'll tell you why, Phil, because being white and being Irish.
All right, thank you very much.
But I wouldn't want to live here either. Oh, and am I back?
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And, I tell you something, if we could do a serious talk show, I mean like a serious, serious talk show, this would be a bad time to do it.
What do you mean?
Because there's so much to talk about, and so few places that, I mean, really, you know, you could really get into some serious stuff, like that immigration conversation we had. You could really talk to people seriously about it, but there's so much dumb stuff happening out there. I don't know whether or not, I don't know that we're any smarter, you know, but there is a lot of, you know, stuff.
But it's not talking about stuff like the way you do.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Whatever.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Ted Bell. I'm sorry I brought it up. Ted's with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to talk about a story that I thought was fascinating about a waitress that wants to spit in people's food. Wow. That a Ted?
Come on down
to Ted's of Beverly Hills. The baseball season in full swing. We've got lots going on in our prime rib room. Of course, Mom and Dad and Grandma loving that prime rib that we have fresh cooked every Sunday night, slow roasted. That's exactly right here at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, and welcome to the show. It's been a while since we've had you on for a segment.
Well, we're very happy to be a part of the program, Phil, as usual. And, of course, we are excited about the summer months are here. It's a great place to come with the family and have a steak and enjoy the delicious food here at Ted's in Beverly Hills. And I'll tell you something, our service is second to none. We are absolutely a family-oriented restaurant. It's a place where we love to have you bring the family.
All right, the story here, and it's a fascinating story of I think I said it. I think that Facebook is a great place because, if nothing else, it shows us just really how stupid some people are and what they're willing to do to promote that stupidity, although that's not exactly what they're doing.
I know the story you're talking about. Do you want to get into it now?
Let me first of all get everybody else up to speed.
All right.
And then, you know, I want you to give me your opinion on this. Now, listen to this, folks. This is a waitress in the case of a California Chili's waitress. This is Chili's, Ted. It's not a restaurant that is a high-end steakhouse like yours, but nonetheless, it's a very well-known restaurant here in California. She's just been fired for posting an angry rant on her Facebook page. The incident began when this young woman was stiffed on a tip. She took to Facebook to let off some steam. She said in this rant on her Facebook page, She said, the next time you tip me $5 on a $138 bill, don't even bother coming in because I'll spit in your food and then in your effing face, you cheap bastards. Now, what did the manager say to all of this? Well, that's where the story gets complex. There's a Reddit thread that exploded with comments overnight in response to the claim that this lady got fired, apparently. She was fired because of these comments, and she, the thinking being that obviously... And you're the restaurateur, so you just tell me where I'm going wrong here. But the thinking being that they don't want somebody there issuing threats like that.
All right, well, I do have an opinion. I understand people's concern. I understand the young lady going public like that and going as forcefully public like that as she could. It's going to cause people concern. You understand, though, Phil, that these waitresses and these waiters, they live on these tips. Now, we do pay minimum wage, but the fact of the matter remains that the tip is what constitutes, this is the lifeblood of any food server. It is as true at our restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills, which you're right, is a high-end steakhouse, as it is at Chili's, which is one of these mid-level sort of diners or restaurants.
Yes, it's not unlike a Denny's, right?
Well, I would you say not unlike a Denny's. Chili's probably considers themselves a cut above Denny's. I would too. Certainly none of them are as high end as ours. But here's my point. These waiters and these waitresses live on these tips. How do you ensure, if you're a waiter or a waitress, how can you ensure that you're going to be tipped properly?
Good service.
Not true. Not always. Not always. No. No, see, you just jumped in with good service because you think those are the magic words.
Well, I mean, obviously there's going to be people...
No, it's not. No, good service does not guarantee you a good tip. Good service is good service. And you can provide the best possible... I've got people that work for me, Phil, that have been with me for the last 10 years. They're food servers. They work in our lounge. They're fantastic people, and I will keep them on for as long as they want to be here. And I know there have been nights... that they have absolutely been stiff like you wouldn't believe. Like, I can tell you this right now, I saw a very well-known Hollywood actor, and I'm not going to give any names out here. I can give you initials.
Ted, you don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Well, BP, that's the only thing I'm going to say. The first thing...
Don't even go there. All right, so it's a well-known Hollywood actor.
All right, well-known Hollywood actor. Who came in and dropped probably about five bills on the entire dinner. Well, $600, I think it was. Came to $600. They got a bottle of very expensive champagne. And I want to tell you this. The tip on that, and this is a conservative, the tip on that should be around $120, $130, maybe $100.50 if you really... And he left a $50 tip. So, and this was one of my best servers. I put her on that table knowing that I wanted everything to be great. And we had actually 2-3 servers on that table. We had a captain over there. We had it all going on. All right. Now, she gets stiff. So what does she have to ensure that that won't happen again?
Well, she got stiff.
Hold on. What does she have to ensure that won't happen again? You don't want anybody... to say, I'm going to spit in your food. You don't want any server to say that. And yet, the average customer to any restaurant should be aware that the risk is real. And
What does that mean, I should be aware that the risk is real?
You've heard enough about it. You've heard people talking about it. You got this young lady on Facebook. You've seen... you know that some of these people are going to do something which we it's a proactive, if you want to call it that. It is insurance.
No, I don't know. You're talking about actually spitting in the food. You're talking about actually defiling or defouling the food in some way.
I didn't say that. What I said was, how do you ensure that you're going to be tipped?
All right, let me ask you this. Here was one of your best servers. Here was a guy with a lot of money. He came in. He stiffed her. Why wasn't he worried about her messing with his food?
I'll tell you what. Because this guy was a movie star, and he thought that his you-know-what doesn't spell. He thought he was better than that. And
so what is he supposed to think now when he comes in the next time that it's going to be?
Well, I don't know that an individual like that is ever really going to get the message. I think you have to, I think with someone like that, you have to be very clear. Now, I don't recommend that my food servers come up to someone and say, if you don't tip me well, I'm going to spit in your food. I mean, that's what this girl did on Facebook. I would fire her just as this company did. And yet I understand if there's a way that they can communicate that. Some people need to be reminded. And look at Phil, I don't endorse it.
Well, you're sort of walking a line here. You're sort of saying you don't endorse it, but at the same time, you understand.
No, I'm not doing any of that, Phil. I'm telling you that I simply know I know how these waiters and waitresses. Look, I started out as a food server when my father owned this place, all right? And believe me, it was the most disgusting period of my life. I spent 2 years as a working as a bartender and as a food server here at Ted's, and I can tell you this, and I'm not trying to be trivial, and I'm not trying to be funny. If there had been a pistol available to me at that time, I probably would have taken my own life.
And good. But this was when you were what?
When I just told you, when I was a food server, my father ran the restaurant. If I had found a gun somewhere, I would have blown my brains out. That's how vile and foul the experience was. And
what made it that way?
Just dealing with the customers. Dealing with the food. The food, the customers, the combination of all of it made me want to vomit. And cheap? You don't even know what cheap is. So when I took over the restaurant, I said, well, I want these people to be treated better. And I will tell you, Phil, that I don't want to see anyone spit in the food, but when our cocktail waitresses or our food servers are serving a table and they want to somehow get the message across, and a lot of them do it in different ways. They can cough a little bit. They can mention that they've got a cold. Something.
So in other words, something that delivers the threat that some of that fluid is going to get into the food of the people. And that, I got to tell you something. I don't know how you could countenance that for a minute.
I am telling you, Phil, I know they're going to do it. I don't want them to do it. I know, but this is an unwritten code among waiters and waitresses. You don't understand. Have you ever been a food server?
No, I haven't.
Well, why doesn't that surprise me? I don't think you understand.
I've never been a food server. People in my family have. But they have, and I've never heard any of them say that this is insurance, the threat of spitting into someone's food to make sure that they get a good tip. Our number is 877. Hold on, Ted.
There's a lot more.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk to Ted Bell some more about this woman who went on her Facebook page and threatened to spit in people's food if they didn't tip her better. And this is a kind of insurance as far as Ted Bell is concerned. You don't want to encourage it. You don't want to see it. You don't want your people talking about it. You would rather never have to deal with it. But it is a kind of insurance for food servers to get a good tip. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are here open every night. That's one thing people ask. Are you open 7 days a week? No, we are not. We're open 5 days a week. We're closed Monday and Tuesday. But it feels like it's 7 days a week sometimes, Phil, as hard as we work here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, that I like that. Now, that's a good advertising slogan.
What?
You should say, we're not open 7 days a week, but it feels like we are. That's how hard we work.
Well, I got to tell you, it's true. We work very hard to make sure that people enjoy the food and the service here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And
all right, so if I'm a customer of yours, Ted, and I'm coming into your restaurant, and a waitress of yours is taking my order, and somehow she is going to give me the message that if you don't tip me well, Mr. Henry, I could spit in your food. And she's doing that by what, coughing?
Well, no, Phil, Well, look, the reality is these waiters and waitresses work very hard. What? How do you ensure they're going to get a good tip?
You give good service.
And you know as well as I do, good service doesn't mean you're going to get a good tip any more, Phil, than being a good person in life means that people are going to treat you well. It just doesn't work out that way. So I say to my servers, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want you doing anything, but I don't want to know. And so we hold the line. We will not. We don't want anybody doing anything, you know, bad.
But you don't want to know.
But I yes. And again, you don't understand.
So, but I'm getting back to my question.
All right.
If I am sitting there and I'm about to order a steak, and your waitress comes over, or your waiter, whoever the food server is, and they say to me, Mr. Henry, what's your order? And I said, boom, boom. And now how are they letting me know that they may spit in my food if I don't give them a good tip?
I don't know. That's up to them.
You gave examples.
Well, I mean, I know that they will. Some of them will cough and make comment that they had a chest cold. Something that gives an indication. And I know, Phil, that it's nothing that I think you should be proud of. I don't think any food server should be proud of it. But it's something that indicates that they're going to have to cough and maybe fluid.
You listening to yourself?
What does that mean?
What it means is you are tacitly approving of someone spitting in food to ensure.
No, I did not say that. I didn't. I said I am aware of the fact that they will indicate to the customer that they have got the ability or the willingness to. What's the term that the kids used to use? Hawk one up, okay?
Into my food.
I didn't say that they would.
Well, what I'm hearing here, Ted, is a guy who is, you know, you're really riding the fence on this.
In what way?
Well, in this way. You're saying to me, I don't approve of it, I don't like it, it's a reality, but these food servers, they work really hard, and how are they going to ensure that they get good tips? And it isn't good service, as I said to you, good service doesn't ensure tips. And by the way, I agree with that.
Oh, well, you agree with it now. All right, you're agreeing with it now that you've had a chance to think about it. See, I have to think on my feet with my job.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, I do agree with that.
Yeah, you agree with it now. So where does that leave the food server? They need to be able to send the message very clearly, if I don't get a good tip, then your food, you know, is going to change somehow, or there will be an effect on it.
How are you going to ensure, how do you know whether you're going to get a good tip before you get the tip?
First of all, you don't. That's why you send the message.
But how do you know that your message hasn't been sent?
Oh, there's plenty of ways of knowing whether you're going to get a good tip or not. Because, first of all, you can go ahead and recognize certain cues in the person's behavior. Are they making eye contact? Are they complimenting you? Is the wife or any of the kids, if there are children or there is a wife there, are any of them making eye contact? Are they rude? Are they, in other words, sending the message very clearly, we won't be tipping you, or it won't be a very big tip?
I've been known to tip really well, and I don't even say a word to the food server other than thank you very much, and do you want anything? No, I don't want anything else. That's it. That's all I say, and I'm involved in conversation.
Oh, you've been known, huh? Well, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, we aren't all money bags. You know, and
I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that I have been in restaurants where I haven't made eye contact or I haven't talked to the waiter at all.
And you think you left a good tip?
I know I left a good tip.
What do you leave?
I leave 20%.
All right. You know, cue the crickets. I don't. What do you want me to say to that?
Are you trying to tell me that's a cheap tip?
I'm saying it's a beginning. Are you trying? You think that 20%, Phil, at one time was a good tip.
Are you trying to tell me that 20% is not the standard?
At one time, the standard was 15%. You remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember when it was 10%.
Well, guess what? Times are changing. So when you say to me that you leave 20%, I have to tell you, and I tell anybody in your audience that's listening, oh, boy, I don't know where to begin. That's not even going to – that won't cut it. That's just not going to – 20% is good, but it's not going to cut it. So how do you let people know you want a good tip? You have to do things. You cough. you say excuse me and you cough into a handkerchief, or you say excuse me and you spit into a napkin, and when people look at you shocked, as they will, you say to them, I'm sorry, but I have a chest cold. I'm sorry, but I have a sinus infection. I had one of our servers who was, I thought, very resourceful, and they never did anything. They never spit in food, but they used to say, I'm sorry, but I hope I don't have mono, or I hope I don't have, you know.
So in other words, you're just scaring the living hell out of the people at the table.
You're not. You're sending a message, Phil, and you're hopefully the message is going to be this, that I am expecting a really good tip, and I am hopeful that you like the service that I'm providing you. But, you know, right now I feel like I've got pneumonia coming on. Anything that will send that message.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and it would surprise you, Ted, we'll be right back with Ted Bell, that I've never, ever had a food server do that. I've never had anybody serving food coughing into a handkerchief or hocking up into a you know, napkin or spitting, anything like that. I've never had anyone like that serving me my dinner or any other meal at any kind of a restaurant, so... This must be a recent thing. We're talking about a woman, a food server at Chili's restaurant in California, who was so upset with a lousy tip that she went on her Facebook page and she went on a rant saying, the next time you tip me, you know, lousy, I'm going to spit in your food. She was fired, and obviously it did create a little bit of controversy there on the site and other places like Reddit, but she was canned, and in my opinion, good move. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Understand that when you come to Ted's, your food is treated as if I'm serving it to my own family. And we're talking theoretically here.
Exactly. But you are also talking about your waitresses and your food servers at your restaurant.
Yeah, but I don't want anybody, if the message is getting out there that when you come to Ted's in Beverly Hills, you are going to be coming into a restaurant where the waiters and the waitresses do not take absolute care of the food that they're about to serve you. And if the message is otherwise getting out that at my restaurant, people are, as you put it, Phil, defiling or defouling the, you know, I don't think you can defile food because you defile something that is a religious, you know, symbol. And I like the food at our restaurant.
No, I understand. I might have used the wrong word.
All right. But the point is, I can assure you, I don't know anything about anybody doing anything to food at our restaurant. Now, you want me to say to you, absolutely no, the waiters and waitresses don't spit into your food? There isn't a restaurant owner in America that can make that claim. And
oh, you got to be kidding me, Ted. That's not a very good way of promoting your business.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I think I'm capable of promoting my own business.
But, I mean, are you trying to say to me that this is just a standard thing that is going to happen?
I didn't say standard. I said if you want me to come out and say no waiter or waitress at Ted's of Beverly Hills or any restaurant in America has ever, the kids use the word, I don't know, hocked one up or...
You don't have to say hocked one up.
Well, you know, I can't make that claim. I you know, it's impossible, but I will tell you this. I don't know of it. I'm telling you right now. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. I sure as hell don't want to have a meal served to me that somebody did that in. unless, of course, I had made them angry, or I had, for instance, if I had said I'm going to cut your pay or I'm going to fire you right after your shift, then I fully expect that they would do something. And generally, my after-work meal, I always order up one of our steaks, probably a baseball steak, and I have a Caesar salad. And if I had fired someone and as their and I said, but you can stay on to the end of your shift, and, oh, yeah, go get me some dinner, are you kidding? I would expect that they would do something in the food.
And would you eat it?
But I would have to. If I ordered it, yes.
So you're going to willingly eat the meal? Boy, I tell you.
Well, you do not understand my business, and I don't think you understand very well how difficult it is for a lot of these young servers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me get to a phone call here on the line. Linda, go ahead, Linda. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. Hi. Waitress, and I would have never, ever thought of doing that. I wasn't paid well. I wasn't tipped well. And I think that the thing on tipping with being, if you give good service, you get a tip.
Right.
But times have changed. My sister-in-law worked at a restaurant, and there was a mandatory gratuity.
Just be Benadirit, okay?
Okay, and she didn't know that she was going to be taxed on that mandatory gratuity, even though the customers in a small town in Alaska where we are, they don't tip. It's just not understood in a lot of areas. It's hard enough when you go out like we did today for a hamburger, a club sandwich, and a Reuben and paid $82. And
all right.
60 was the meal, and the 20 was the tip because my husband tips 20%. But he's a rarity.
Well, 20% on a $60 tab is $12, I hate to tell you. But
he was more generous than that.
That's very generous of him. Very generous.
But not everybody can afford it or can do that. But there are some restaurants that report the gratuity, whether the waitress or the server gets it or not. Because
ma'am, did you say that you were a food server at one time? Did you say you were a food server one time? All right. Now, I just want to say this. This is Ted Bell, okay? I own Ted to Beverly Hills. I realize it's Alaska, but I will tell you this, that I don't know why they don't tip in Alaska, because I would think that Alaska would be a wonderful place to begin to tell the customer, hey, look, I work very hard. And,
not in rural Alaska. Maybe in Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau, but you go into a small community of 300 to 900 people, you're not going to get that.
Well, I don't know why you say that, because if you look at I don't know, but I'm gonna be really stupid now and say, if I go to a restaurant in a 300-person community in Alaska and I look at that waitress, I'll bet you anything, she's not a bathing beauty, and the threat of her doing something in my food, you better believe I'm gonna tip.
God. That's the new standard.
I'm just being stupid. Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I guess it will make me really think, and a lot of people really think about the restaurant business, and maybe kind of change a lot of habits. And that's not good for the restaurant business.
If I had someone that
I even suspected had a cold or a flu, they would not work a shift.
Well, these people have to work. They've got children. A lot of these women are single mothers.
I have family too, and I've had to work odd jobs. All kinds of things. But
you don't want a waitress going on the job, Ted, and spitting. Do you want her giving this illness to people?
No, I don't, but what am I going to do? Oh, you stay home because I know you've got children to feed, but guess what? You stay home anyway. If she can go on the job and spit into a napkin and get some guy to cough up, pardon the pun.
If somebody's cold and they work with the airlines and they're a ticket agent, they don't go to work.
You know what? Can I say something to you, ma'am? I've worked around a lot of entertainers. You sound exactly like Bea Benaderet, who was an old voiceover actor. She did the voice of Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. Have you ever thought about going into that work?
No, you would be
fantastic.
I'm retired. I'm going to be 64 years old this year, and I've worked multiple jobs, but I have never worked in any voiceover.
And I can tell you, if you get into the voiceover business, one thing you won't have to do is say, oh, I'm going to spit into your food unless you, because there's You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great. But here's another waitress.
I wouldn't have to do that anyway. I have worked multiple jobs in multiple professions.
Yeah.
And
I don't
I've worked
know about it. But
all kinds of
I just don't want to. If you worked for me, Linda, I would say you go ahead. You go, girl. You're great. And if you want to go ahead and fire, and I hate to say this, but the kids call it a nostril rocket. Is that what they call it?
Are you serious?
What?
Are you serious about that, man? You're going to have people do that into people's food?
No, I did not say I'd have that.
But you're saying you'd look the other way.
What
am I supposed to do?
I'm going to say this.
God.
If I can interrupt you, Sean.
Go ahead, Linda. Go ahead.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do?
Ted, what you're supposed to
yes.
do is look out for your customer.
Oh,
your customer,
man.
If one customer finds out that one person
yeah.
actually did that,
yes.
you would not
that,
have.
That's the end of business. Linda, hang on the line here for a minute. I want to bring another customer, restaurant, the guy. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, you're on with not only Ted Bell, but Linda.
Linda, yes, Linda, how are you? This is Lloyd Bonafide.
Hi.
Hi. Phil, this man, Mr. Bell, I have eaten in restaurants my entire life. I'm a Korean War veteran. My wife and I enjoy going out to dinner. I take family members out to dinner. And I will make no bones about it. If a food server I suspected had spit or what have you in my food, I'd pick that. I would tear that place apart. And
what is that supposed to mean, sir?
I mean, I would tear your place apart. I'd start with the bar. I'd work my way into your dining room, and by the time I was done, you'd have no restaurant left. It would be garbage.
Well, that's just the anger of the situation. But
exactly.
With all of the viral diseases around, what's the difference in somebody who may have some kind of connection in their disease and somebody who has AIDS spitting in the food? It is a death threat.
I'm not particularly concerned with getting a disease because at my age, you know, I've got nothing left.
What are you talking about?
I understand that, dear. But at my age, I want to go out in a like the tail of a comet. I want to go out with a fiery. And
in other words, you'd want to rip my restaurant apart.
If you've got people firing nostril rockets or whatever it was that you said, you better believe it, sir. And trust me when I tell you. By the time Lloyd Bonafide walked out the front door of your restaurant, what would be behind me would be smoldering, glowing, and there'd be no roof.
Good God. Wow.
What is, Bill, I just heard a terrorist threat on your radio show against my restaurant.
No, it was not. The man...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm not a terrorist either.
No. The man was saying he was so angry at what would... I would be that angry, too. Linda, thank you. You're very kind for pointing out those things to us here on our show tonight. Thank you.
Okay.
877. Thank you, dear. 877-876. Phil is our number.
You see what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
No, I want to say something, Phil. I've been sitting here listening for the last few minutes.
Go ahead.
All right. I have been listening to people saying to me that my policy that built Ted's of Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something, my friend. I built this place brick by brick. Board by board, nail by nail.
Yeah, that's how I'll take it apart, too.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
I built this place, I'm going to say it again, brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail. If you think I'm going to endanger my business by allowing food servers to come in with every kind of disease, some of which could be, let's be honest, some of it could be the sexual diseases that you get on toilet seats. I don't know if that's true or not. You don't get sexual diseases on toilet seats. God! Hold on for a minute, sir, and I'm getting advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there.
Hold on for a minute. We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. I'm taking advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And, we're talking about waiters and waitresses, one of whom was on her Facebook page saying that she would spit in people's food if she's ever stiffed a tip again. And she was fired. Fired by the Chili's restaurant chain here in California. World famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Absolute nerve you have of saying that to me.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, it will be the greatest dining experience of your life. Everywhere you go, there is the threat that a waiter is going to do something to your food, is all I'm saying.
Right, well, that I don't know is true.
Well, I'm a restaurateur. You can have your opinion. I know you're a customer, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I can tell you that I do everything that I can. I do everything in my power to make sure that our food servers don't spit in the food. But let me ask you a question. How do I ensure that they don't do that?
I can tell you how you ensure it. Every step of the way, you have eyes on those food servers. Every step of, and you hire people to take pride in their work, and they're not slobs, and they're not low-class scum, and they take great pride. You have a high-end restaurant.
Wait a minute. I don't need to be lectured on how to... I asked you a simple question.
You have a high-end restaurant. I would think that servers in a nice restaurant like that are proud to work there, are happy to work there, and are proud of the food they serve. You know, and
if they don't get tipped, if they're only making minimum wage, and they come into this so-called high-end restaurant, and they're getting stiffed morning, noon, and night, and they walk out of there with about as much money as they had walking in, and they don't know how they're going to eat from one day to the next, they don't know whether they're going to have socks to wear with those shoes, are they driving to work, are they hitchhiking to work? What am I going to do then? If I got food servers that are hitchhiking with shoes and no socks, no underwear, you know, in other words, Phil, it...
Boy, I got to tell you something, man. Then you need to pay your people better.
Oh, my God. Didn't I just tell you that it's the tip is...
I can't imagine any restaurant that's so-called high-end like yours and people are getting stiffed morning, noon, and night on tips.
Well, my friend, you just haven't been... Well, you just don't...
I mean, to the volume that you've got people that are not... living properly. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Ted Bell.
Hi. I was just going to say, I mean,
yes,
if I walked into a restaurant and my family and I sat down to order, and I even got the slightest inclination that this person was threatening to spit in my food, or they were sick and they were coughing and spitting into napkins in front of me, I would talk to a manager and I would have that person removed from my table and had somebody else brought over. And if that didn't take care of the situation, then I would leave, and I would call the Better Business Bureau, because that is absolutely uncalled for.
I agree with that. What do you say, Ted?
Well, I don't blame the gentleman. I wouldn't want him fearing that someone's going to tamper with his food, but I don't think it's as easy as just noticing that someone is spitting into a handkerchief. I mean, there are a lot of different indications they're going to give you. What if they simply say, boy, it's hot today, and they absentmindedly wipe an armpit?
Yeah, but the point is, they're sending a message to this man, right?
Well, I mean, they're basically...
That's ridiculous.
Sir, you know, if you tip well, then you shouldn't
be afraid
of that.
They have nothing to do with it. If I get good service, I will give a good tip. If I don't, I'll give them 10%.
Well, that, I understand that.
It has nothing to do with whether they're going to spit in my food or not, because you're gonna tip off of what the server does.
Well, that
bottom
is
line.
In theory, yes, in theory. But you would be surprised.
No,
I've got,
legit.
As I said,
that's
I've got
the bottom
I've,
line.
Well, maybe with you. But I have to say, I have
and
no
other American.
Sir, I have to tell you, no, that's not true. You can serve you can do the greatest job as a food server, and sometimes you get a lousy tip or no tip at all. That's just the way people are.
Yeah, there's
now,
always
you're a good
be a
man.
Douchebag
I
out
understand.
There, but
yes,
for the majority
all right,
of Americans.
And so, how do you change
that? You're going to take out the frustrations off of somebody that did not tip right. You're going to spit in people's food that would tip right?
No.
How do you expect
people
to tip from
no,
them?
No, I do not want them to do that. What I can't do anything about,
condoning.
And that I don't.
You're saying,
I don't necessarily.
Oh, happen, well, so I'm just going to let it happen.
I'm
you're
simply saying
it.
This. I'm saying that a
food
server
right
ought to be allowed the freedom.
A restaurant because it sounds like you run a great shift there. Let me tell you.
No, no, you're misunderstanding. The food server should be allowed to send whatever message they want to send. And
yeah, but if they're sending the message in your restaurant that, watch out, pal, because I may spit in your food.
Well, how do you know?
You just got
Let
done saying
this.
They're going to wipe
you're
their...
Spit, you're, if your server were to send any kind of message, they're going to spit in my wife's food, you better believe it. I would get up and I would lay them on their back because I'm not going to put up with that. And then I would come to you. And if you didn't take care of that situation, you'd be finding yourself picking yourself up off the floor because I'm not going to put up with it.
Sir,
if I had to go to jail over it, I don't care.
Sir, the only way that you would get any indication that someone would spit in your wife's food, that would have to be one of our male servers. And the way they telegraph that is they look down their shirt as if it's too hot, you know. And
wait a minute. You're giving this guy the signals?
I've seen, yeah, male servers.
So he knows, but he probably teaches this stuff in his restaurant.
No, I do not. No, I do not. No, I do not. I'm just telling you, I'm
but
aware
you read the
of
book
what
on
it is.
It, right?
No, sir. I'm aware of what food servers... Food servers are going to live the lives they're going to live. They are their own people. They party together. They, you know those people. I mean, they're young.
No, I don't.
And they do
obviously,
their thing.
Right?
Well, they're very young people, and they like to make sure they get tipped well. Sometimes they go to the... I've seen...
This is absurd.
My male servers will... put their hand down their pants or down their shirt or something like that.
I'm not going to have a food server at my table putting his hand down his pants.
Yeah, do that around my face. I dare you.
That's what I'm saying, the signal. If you want to know what the signals are, I'm giving them to you. If he's going to spit in your kid's food, the hand goes in the pants.
Phil, I can't believe you even have this.
Oh, come on, man. Why would you? Hey, Ted, you've got a restaurant. You do a really good business. Why would you talk this way?
I'm trying to let the guy know. God, I can't do anything right. I try to tell you what's up.
Obviously.
You guys are mad at me. I don't, you don't, you know.
So in other words, if a guy sticks his hand down his pants while he is taking my order, he will spit in my kid's food.
If you don't tip.
No, if he
and
puts
if he
his
looks
hand down his pants in front of my kids, in front of my wife, he's a dead
yes.
man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, that's him saying to
so
you.
You're telling me that your male servers are over there putting their hands down their pants in front of customers?
No, sir.
No. Are you doing hiring a bunch of pervs?
No, I am not, sir. I'm saying that the signal generally, if they're going to spit into the kids' food, is they make like they're going down into their pants. They don't put their hand down in their pants.
What in the world?
You know something? It's a bizarre,
is he living
bizarre,
in America? Is he on planet Earth?
Yes, sir. Beverly Hills, California. That's about as much on planet as well.
All right, listen, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Appreciate everybody's call. It's our News and Information Hour coming up next. Lots to cover. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, whatever. That's another wasted night. Now people are going to come into my restaurant just to see the food servers and stick their hands down their pants and go, hey, there it is. You know?
Well, it could be worth a little tourist money.
On second thought, come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. You can see our food servers put their...
All right, anyway, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Barack Obama's natural inclination is caution. That's often very good in a diplomat.
I take phone calls all the time. I took phone calls with small business owners.
I'm proud to be here with people who are willing to stand up. I'm proud to be here with people who understand.
I love the game of basketball.
Almost as big as me.
I like Wiener.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This is Right Wing Radio, and every night we take it places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Is using a taser considered torture? Well, it is by some. Civil rights groups in San Francisco sure think so, and they want to keep officers from utilizing the device. Tonight we're going to be talking with a Bay Area activist, Dean Wheeler, from
from the Northern California Holistic Center. A meeting of Bay Area activists has just broken up there, and we'll talk with Dean direct on our newsmaker line in just a moment about this story. Taser debate reignites for San Francisco police. Civil rights group alleges tasers are torture. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, and of course our website, philhenryshow.com. To enjoy our website, get a backstage pass. You have access to thousands of hours of archived material, a daily podcast of every single show that you can sign up for on our website, and you get it via iTunes. Also our classic podcasts, also our every single solitary night video cast, which is also available on demand for 5 days, and our news feed, and the comments section, and email to me and from me. All there at philhenryshow.com, so check it out. The San Francisco Police Commission this week will once again discuss arming officers with tasers nearly a year after the commission shot down a previous proposal to explore that possibility. We have on the line with us from the from Mill Valley right now is Dean Wheeler, joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil, considering.
What do you mean, considering?
Well, we're disappointed, obviously, in the decision by the police commission. We felt that had we been heard, we would have been able to sway them. This is now going to be a open debate, a public debate, and a debate that is going to take up San Franciscans and the time of Bay Area residents better spent on more constructive things.
Well, the police commission voted 4-3 last March against a proposal by then police chief George Gascon to study the use of taser stun guns by the department. Already, local community groups are asking the commission to nix any idea of using tasers in the city. Since the March vote last year, three new members have been appointed to the commission, and interim police chief Jeff Godown, or whatever. How do you pronounce his name?
Godown.
Godown, really?
Yes.
Who took over as the chief of the police department when Gascon was named San Francisco District Attorney, is hoping the commission's new makeup will result in a different approach to the taser issue. So the police want these tasers. Why are you against them?
Well, we're against any use of any implement that we think is designed primarily to deliver a pain response that is extended, that is a chronic extension of pain in order to direct movement or behavior. We consider that torture, and we certainly do not consider that to be within the purview or the confines of police department decorum. I think that it is.
Now, how do you know when you say torture? Let's talk about this for a second, okay?
Well, allow me to say one thing, Phil, before we discuss anything. I know you want to talk about it, but before we talk about it, I want to get a couple of other points out. And maybe the discussion will take a different tack. When you shoot someone with a taser, it is a very normal and I think a very human response if I'm the one using the taser. To be curious about how it works, to be curious about how much of a charge it gives off, and to be curious, certainly, as to how much the human being hit with a taser will be compliant. It plays on, in other words, Phil, our, the worst angels of our nature. It plays on the instinct that every human being has to use an item like that, and to play God, if you will. We don't want to tempt any human being into wanting to play God. And that's what we think the taser does.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, it's like...
Well, but hold on. I'm not sure I follow you there, but let's just... for the moment, let that be a part of the discussion here. The upcoming vote at this week's San Francisco Police Commission would not authorize the use of tasers, but would give the police department permission to go back and research the feasibility, the cost, the training, and all other aspects of putting together a pilot program. After conducting initial research, the department would then have to go back to the commission at a later date. So this has not been legalized.
No, it's not been legalized, but we do not want to wait 1 second, not one extra minute, while the use of taser is still feasible. I know from the citizen involvement program, the citizen test program. We're fully aware of what will happen if we give tasers to...
Tell me about the citizen test program.
Well, that was a program that we were involved in with the police commission. We asked, and they very graciously assented, which I was surprised at, because every time we deal with the police, they're very hostile. It's not any... I don't think it's any secret that the police are hostile. And they've been hostile to us because we keep an eye on them. But when they let us test the tasers, it suddenly occurred to me that it was an enjoyable experience. And I immediately went to Chief Godown, and I said, I've devoted my entire life to peace and to creating a peaceful world and a peaceful community. This is what I'm about, Phil, and this is what our teachings are about at our hermitage. And for me to take a taser and enjoy the idea of shooting it and electrocuting a human being, I knew that there was something fundamentally wrong with that weapon. It played on the very negative aspects and the negative humors and ethers. It played on what we call in yoga a negative prana, which is life force. And you're familiar with karma. And
all right, well, you're talking about a lot of yogic things here.
Yogic things. These are very real experiences. I am a man who voted for Barack Obama. I'm a man who has voted the Green Party over the last 20 years. I voted Peace and Freedom Party before that. I was a part of some of the biggest anti-war demonstrations that this nation has ever seen in San Francisco during Vietnam and during the Iraq War. I have tied myself to Redwoods to keep logging from Northern California. I have done everything to protect life, and yet when I was allowed to use that taser, I got a thrill. The very idea that I was able to shoot these darts into a human being, I got a thrill. If I got a thrill, that means that anyone, any human being, is not only going to enjoy it, they could enjoy it in ways that would be very, very destructive. No. Phil, we can't allow that.
Well, Dean, with all due respect, because you use this taser and you got a thrill out of using it, how do you know other people are going to react that way?
Because I've devoted my entire life to peace. I've devoted my entire life to nonviolence. I have devoted...
Well, but with all due respect, are you that nonviolent?
Yes, I am. Hold on. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. I am using the phone right now. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. And I am very disturbed by the intimation. I am going to go back and tell you. I was a part of one of the largest anti-war demonstrations that this country has ever seen, the 1967 march in New York. I was there in Berkeley at the People's Park. I was there, at a variety of demonstrations for homeless. So I don't know what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is, I'm sorry I put it indelicately, if you, a man who's devoted himself to human rights issues, very much a liberal, very much a progressive, and that's not bad, if you really believe what you believe, and then you get a thrill out of using a taser, what did you use the taser on?
We used it on a... God forgive me. We used it on a dog. God forgive me.
And you enjoyed it?
Hold on for just a minute. Anyone would enjoy it. That's why I...
Did you tase this dog as part of the police program?
You know something, Phil?
Did you tase a dog as part of the police program?
I tased the dog as part of... The police told us to use it. And so I shot a dog that had come across the target area.
Well, what were you supposed to be shooting?
Well, they had targets set up.
Were they living creatures?
They were not, no. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. I am the most liberal and progressive person you are ever going to meet in your life. And yet when I held a taser and I saw a dog, I had a feeling that was so overpowering that I wanted to tase that dog. Now that, Phil, is dangerous because, again, I was at the largest anti-war demonstration, et cetera, et cetera. I could give you my credentials.
I got to tell you, that is...
No, hold on. Don't begin. You're not going to judge me. I have been opposed to I've been opposed...
No, that's the... Was the dog okay? Please tell me the dog was all right.
Of course the dog was all right. Of course it was all right.
All right, so you tased a dog. The dog was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why?
Huh? What?
You just told me you tased the dog. It was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why? Because they give you this power or because they hurt creatures?
Because they give you a sense of an exuberance when you use it. When you use a taser on another living creature, there is an exuberance that I felt, and anyone would. If I feel it, you've got to listen to me, Phil, because you've mischaracterized what I've said.
And I'm listening to you, Dane.
All right. If I felt it, and I have been involved in the advanced arts of holistic healing, homeopathy, the peace movement, and yet I got a thrill out of tasing a dog, imagine what a cop, a guy who's a cop, they are born to enjoy that kind of thing.
You know, you are now beginning to you're disparaging cops to make yourself look good, you know.
No, I am not.
Yeah, you are. You're disparaging cops and saying they're born to like that. You, on the other hand, you're a peaceful guy and you got a thrill out of tasing a dog, so imagine what a cop would do. I find that disingenuous. I find it slanderous.
You find it slanderous.
I think you're slandering the police, and I think you, with your comment there, I believe in controlling criminals. I believe in using tasers. I believe in the death penalty. But I sure don't want any cops out there who are getting a thrill.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay?
Which means to me that I wouldn't want to see you be a cop.
No. Any person using a taser will get this kind of thrill. Please believe me.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, who claims to be a man of peace, a man who teaches homeopathy, a man who teaches yoga, a man who is an anti-war demonstrator, used a taser on a dog because he said that's what weapons do to the average person. They turn us into people who get a thrill out of pain. And we're talking about tasers. Are they? I can't get over tasing the dog is the thing that just... The animal's okay. Mr. Wheeler, he can explain himself some more. He does say, though, that tasers are torture. Do you believe they are? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Whatever else, tasing a dog.
You're making this all about that.
Well, I want to find out more about this. We're talking to Dean Wheeler here on the Phil Henry Show. He and other members of the Northern California Holistic Center and other activists in a citizens program tested the use of a taser. You're against it, Dean, because you say it's torture. But in doing that, you tased a dog, and you said that you had a good or a sense of power.
No, I didn't feel. I felt it was very addictive. There's no question it was very addictive. And I did not want to tase that dog, but the enjoyment I got out of it made me realize that making tasers legal for the police is bad. I went home with that taser as part of the citizen program, and I asked my wife, Emeralda, we need to test this on a living creature. Now, we just tased a dog out at the San Francisco police range, and she was very upset. I said, I was very upset, too, but I was attracted to it. I said, would you submit to allowing me to tase you? And she said, yes. And I was about to, and then she went back on her word. And I have, like anyone, I have a big issue with people going back on their word. And so I went ahead and tased her anyway. You can question my...
Oh, boy.
You can question my methods. But her reaction, again, gave me this sense of empowerment. Phil, do you understand? I'm a very evolved person. Do you understand what this will do in the hands of someone who's not as intelligent?
You tased your wife and you tased a dog, and both times, neither creature, your wife or the dog, wanted it to happen. Here is Julie in Akron, Ohio.
That is not true, sir.
Yes, it most certainly is true. Julie in Akron, Ohio. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on him tasing the dog. Why couldn't you have tased a living person who could consent to it instead of a defenseless animal who had no say-so in it?
It's a very good question, Julie. All I can tell you is it's the reason why I'm opposed to tasers in any form.
How are you opposed to it? You just said you were addicted to it. Like, so are you going to go out, like, abusing animals now?
I am against it because that's what it will do. If it did that to me, it could do it to you. It could do it to
a police officer. But you just said that you were addicted to it, right?
I found it to be an empowering thing. That's why I don't want to use it.
In other words, it's like a drug.
In many ways, like a drug, yes.
And you think that this is going to happen to Julie, to me, to police chief of San Francisco?
Bill, I have been practicing yoga my entire life. And
you've told me all about your yoga and your peace-loving ways, but...
Where do you get the gall to talk down to me?
You tased a dog, man, and you did it and even had the gall to say it gave you kicks.
I did not say those words at all.
Well, we can ask Julie. What did it sound like to you?
That's animal abuse, and you can get charged for that, criminally.
Yes, you can.
For things like that.
Did you do that? Did the police see you do that?
The police were not on the range at the time.
And Julie asked the question, why not use a human being?
Absolutely, and I think Julie's question is an excellent question. That's why I went home with the device and asked my wife to submit to a tasing so I could see what happens to a human being. Emerald said
that
she would.
And you did it anyway, even though she didn't agree to it, right?
She said yes at once, and then she changed her mind.
So then why did you do it?
I don't understand why I'm being put down for this.
It hurts, you know. You put somebody through pain, and you know you basically electrocuted somebody who wasn't willing to test it.
But she went back on her word. She said that she would.
So she said then that she wouldn't. So she didn't go back on. She went. What do you mean her word, man? That's not something. That's not like a binding contract. Yeah, sure, you can tase me. On second thought, no, I don't think I'd like you to do that. That looks like it hurts. I'm scared. No, I don't want you to do that. Can't you conceive of a human being doing that?
And your wife said that.
Well, then why would she say yes and get me worked up? And
see, this is what I'm saying, man. You sound so really sick.
No, wrong. You two would exactly react the same way. And Julie, you, who's all about this dog, if you'd been out on that range that day, you would have had a smile on your face, too.
Did you smile when you...
I would have found a person who was willing to do it. I've seen it happen on TV. I've seen people, say that
fall
they'll
to the
go
ground.
Through it.
Right.
Could have found anybody to do it, not a harmless, not a defenseless, or your
so
wife.
Easy to say. This is so unfair. It's so easy to say.
No, the answer is no.
Don't do things if you are embarrassed to admit to it.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm saying you are embarrassed to admit to it because you would have gotten your thrills.
Well, that's not what she's saying. That's not what I'm saying. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The taser, is it so addictive that you'll tase an animal, even if you're a guy like Dean Wheeler who's peace-loving? We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
So dishonest.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking with Dean about something that people in San Francisco are concerned with and are interested in, and that is the use of tasers by the police. Now, I know that you were waiting this this vote by the police commission. You were part of a citizen group that was using or testing tasers. You've already admitted to tasing a dog. And you have said...
You know, the use of the word, you just said you've admitted to tasing a dog as if I'm... Phil, I'm not a police officer. Think about cops. Think about prison guards. These individuals, while doing a necessary job, have personalities that are far more prone to enjoying using one of these. Now, we have the recording... me coming out of the house. You have that?
Yes, and this is one that I don't even know that the audience wants to hear.
Well, you said you wanted it.
All right, this is Mr. Wheeler coming out of his house into his garage where you saw a gardener?
Yes. This is one of the, it was part of one of the crew that takes care of the hermitage, a gentleman by the name of Reuben. And he was putting gasoline into a lawnmower. I walked out, I saw him. And I honestly couldn't help myself. And this is, I walked out, I saw him, I lifted the taser, and I fired.
Oh, my God.
5 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. And imagine in the hands of a cop.
In the hands of a cop, I'm not worried about. It was in your hands. You did that to a man with his back to you. You tased a dog.
Phil, if I knew I was going to be attacked, and
I'm saying to you that you tased a dog, you went home, your wife refused, you tased her, and then with that man's back to you, as you walked into your parking garage, wherever you were, you tased him. And record what prompted you to record it?
Because I knew I was going to be on your program tonight.
And why didn't you record your wife?
Because she lied to me and said...
No, she didn't lie. She said that she didn't want to be tased by you. Thanks very much. And you went ahead and did it anyway. Mindy in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My question is, if he wanted to see what it was like to be tased, why didn't he set up a video camera and tase himself?
Well, that's not very intelligent. I mean, who wants to do that to themselves?
Well, you did it to your wife. If you were my husband, I would have turned you into the police for abuse.
Wait a minute. You agreed to be tased.
And then she said she didn't want to be tased.
She went back on her word. Okay.
What kind of a husband purposely hurts their spouse?
I did not hurt my spouse. Imelda has been my soulmate since before we were born. And we have been involved in many different wonderful projects. She understands. She knew that I wanted to keep these weapons out of the hands of these sadistic people.
And you're a sadistic person. You're a sadistic person. You're the one that turned around and purposely tased two people.
I'm saying to you, Mindy, that you. I'm saying that you would do the same thing if you had a taser in your hands.
Would Mindy walk into a parking garage as you did, and with someone's back to her, she'd tase them?
Yes.
You're saying that, but you don't know that. The only guy that we have proof of doing that is you.
You have police officers all over this country who've tased people. I have gone out of my way to create peace and harmony, not to do bad things.
All right. Is this going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
Would you please not play that anymore? Would you please not play that anymore?
Well, is that going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
You know something? I'm going to lay my cards on the table. If Mindy wants to hear this, she can. If she doesn't, she doesn't have to. I'll lay my cards on the table. I needed to tase a human being. Reuben is not legal. Okay?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I think you can understand.
No, I think I understand. So if the man died of a heart attack, big deal, no one would know.
Mr. Henry, I have supported life.
If the man died of a heart attack, no one would know.
I've supported life my whole life.
But this time you had such a thrill tasing people, you tased a man with his back to you, and because he was an illegal, you figure if he dies, what were you going to do with him?
No, I...
Boy.
I, what I'm trying to say to you and to Mindy both, this will happen to you. As God is my witness, and I never thought I believed in God before until now. I do believe in God now. I believe in the Christian God. And I used to believe in an Eastern God. But as God, the Christian God, is my witness, Mindy, this weapon would turn you into a Ravensbrück guard, into nothing more than one of those women in leather boots and a heavy wool coat. You know, Mindy?
I beg to differ with you, sir. I would sooner have
with a riding crop.
I would sooner have police officers have these tasers than a gun, because a taser doesn't normally kill a person, where with a gun they could kill someone.
But the thrill that you get out of using it. See, you guys aren't even listening to me.
We're listening to you, but we think that we're coming to a different conclusion than you. Thanks very much, Mindy, for your call. 877-876-7445. Thank you, ma'am. Let me go over to Joe in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Joe, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hey, Phil. Thanks a lot for having me on there.
What do you think about depression?
Yes, sir.
First of all, this guy you're talking to here, is he the head of some kind of association or some kind of a group or something?
Yes, I'm with the Wheeler Hermitage and the Northern California Holistic Center. We are social activists in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay.
Okay.
And we oppose the San Francisco police
having
these
police
weapons.
Department.
We oppose them having tasers. We oppose them having tasers. Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess you're aware of the three officers that have been taken down in St. Petersburg, Florida, within the last 30 days. So, I mean, how do you expect an officer to protect themselves? I mean, in different situations, you've got people that are approaching these officers with weapons. You've got people that sometimes try to make believe that they approach an officer with a weapon. You know, they get put in some pretty particular situations.
We've had a lot of police officers in the last, sorry to interrupt you, Joe, but we've had, since the beginning of the year, we've had an inordinate number of police officers killed in the line of duty. I mean, it could be the economy, could be a lot of things, but cops are being targeted.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that, you know.
Why give them the weapons that they need, tasers to restrain or to contain a situation.
If they draw a firearm and they shoot somebody, okay, now they're in a situation to where they're going to lose their job and they're going to go to prison. And I mean, that's the way it works. Okay,
well,
but
I
you
mean,
got
I don't
this
want
guy
to
here. But you got this guy here that supposedly is on a range with a taser, okay? And all of a sudden a dog happens to walk in the way, and you can't react fast enough to either stop yourself or fire in a different direction, okay? What's
that's
up with that? And then
that
you shoot a defensive man in the back. Okay, you don't even ask him for permission to try this out. No, you just take it upon yourself. Oh, the God-fearing man that sits there, and you say that you've done these things at Berkeley, and you stood for righteousness and people's welfare. But where are you coming off of this crap? I mean, who do you think you are? You're a sick individual. You don't need to be the leader of anything.
Excuse me, sir, but you don't know my life. I'm telling Mr. Henry.
No, I don't want to know your life. I've heard enough about your life. You're demented. Sick individual. You have no business being the leader of anything, and you have no business of having a taser in your hand. I mean, if anything, somebody needs to take suit against you for shooting that dog.
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, someone ought to sue you.
Have the right or the knowledge of doing it. He needs to get some help and get some help and do something about you, buddy. You're sick.
He's not
going
to do anything. He's an illegal immigrant. And as to your
whatever.
Other points,
should I make him any unhuman?
Exactly. You know, for a guy that's
unhuman, sir. Is he
no, it does not.
You? Does he bring
no,
the same
he is not.
You?
Well, yes. I'm an American citizen. He wasn't.
It doesn't matter.
How are you so? How are you so progressive, and at the same time you know? How are you so progressive, and at the same time you talk that way about a Mexican immigrant?
You know as well as I do that if...
Boy.
I am saying to both of you men something that you can't accept, and that is this. In the hands of a lesser person, and yes, I do think I'm evolved. In the hands of a lesser person, such as yourselves, you guys would go on a tased joyride that might never end. And we'd hear about Joe and Phil. We'd hear about Joe and Phil going back and forth across the country on a joyride with a taser.
So in other words, where you tase a dog, me and Joe, we'd go out and tase little kids.
I'm afraid so.
Well, you know what? That's easy to say.
Buddy. Let me tell you something. I'm operating an 80,000-pound truck right now, okay? If I want to go out of my mind and get nuts, I'll tell you what. I can do a hell of a lot more with this truck than I can that taser. No, I think I can maintain my control. I'm sorry. I don't think you can. Phil, thanks a lot. I appreciate
you taking
the time
to take
me out of here.
No, thank you, sir.
I don't agree. I think that what that man doesn't want to recognize. Where's the caller?
I hung up on him. He wanted to go.
Oh, my God. You know, I can't defend myself. I can't.
Dean, you don't sound like a guy that's in very much control of anything, all right? You're saying that the taser is such an attractive and such an alluring experience that we would want to take tasers and go on some tase joyride, tasing people all over the country.
And now you laugh at me. Now you laugh. I'm not allowed to defend myself, and now I'm being laughed at.
You tase a man in the back. You tase a dog. You tase your wife. You tell us anybody would do that and worse. You tell us that you are strong, and because you're strong, you only tased your wife and an innocent man and a dog. Other people like me, Joe, all of my callers, all of my audience, my God, we might tase people to death. We'd be so attracted to the torture aspects of a taser that no, regular people shouldn't have it. Cops shouldn't have it. Thank God you, Dean Wheeler, tested it out for us. Is that what you want me to say?
Not with sarcasm, no.
No, not with sarcasm. You want me to say that seriously, don't you?
Are you trying to tell me that it's any... Are you disagreeing with that?
You better believe I'm disagreeing with it. I'm saying there's something wrong with you. Here is Clay in Lafayette, Georgia. Go ahead, Clay. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to...
Yes, sir.
Let me preface my comments first with saying that I do have a previous law enforcement experience.
Yes, sir.
In Georgia. Yes, sir. I was a Georgia State Trooper, retired sergeant with them. I never carried a taser, but most of our troopers did, and some of the things that they did, anyone that carried one, just so folks would know this, in Georgia at least, anyone who carries a taser, an officer has to have it used on them. That's part of the training.
Really?
So they will experience, yes, sir, they will experience, and I think Taser International actually recommends that training.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Well,
why would anyone do
that? Let me say this. What it gives officers is it gives them a less lethal or an option other than deadly force in physical confrontations. Mm-hmm. Anything can be misused, and no doubt there would be cases where it was. But I can tell you that any Georgia State Trooper that ever shot their wife or a dog or a man working in their garage or yard would be terminated on the spot and probably prosecuted. And that's how us backward folks in Georgia think. You know, we're not from intelligent that's how we think.
I don't understand why I'm not allowed, in the name of justice, and consider who I tased, a dog. I love animals, but if you're going to experiment, why not a dog? Then my wife, who said yes, and then no. So that's really on her.
Well,
okay.
Why
my
not
gardener,
at least... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, my gardener, you've got a point.
Got a point? Tase a guy in the back and he doesn't even know. I'll bet you he thought he was having a heart attack or something.
It was fine.
God.
Another thing, I mean, we wouldn't... I know that anyone that would have the mentality to do what you described doing and not be man enough to at least try it on yourself if you want to see if it's torture or if you want to see it for yourself, then
well,
have
ridiculous.
Someone expose you to it.
You know
what's ridiculous to me is that you would shoot your wife and a man that's working in your yard and a dog and then generalize everybody else as being so unintelligent that they would abuse the taser.
Right.
And you're the one that's
right.
doing it on national radio.
Yeah, you don't understand that...
You know, Mr. Henry, you keep butting in. If you gave me half a chance, I could debate your callers and win.
And
oh, get out of here. What you're doing here is you're, this man made the point. Every single thing that you're afraid will happen to the rest of humanity has happened to you. Nobody else is out there tasing dogs and their wives and strangers. You are.
What about the police?
What about the police? Man, I haven't heard of one person. In the last 4 years, I know of one fatality with a taser, and that was in Canada. Those were British Columbia Canadian cops at an airport. I don't know of anybody dying from a taser in the United States. I know of some violent situations where they might have been used and they shouldn't have been used or whatever. But God, I wish that Bay Area cop would have pulled that taser instead of his weapon when he shot that kid. Or do you prefer that he shot the kid?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Bay Area cop who shot the kid on New Year's when he was reaching for his taser.
What are you talking
about? Oh, never mind. Listen, thanks so much, Clay. I appreciate your experience and your lending that to the conversation. 877-876-PHIL. How do you pronounce this guy? Masurly. Remember that guy? That guy was, he said he was reaching for his taser, and instead he pulled his service revolver, and he shoots that kid. And the next thing you know, we got hell to pay, and the kid's dead. And Dean, at least they didn't use a taser, man. 877-876-7445 for more of your phone calls. Plus, still to come tonight, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We'll be right, okay, we got Dean Wheeler with us. Our News Hour coming up next. I want to get to another phone call here. We have Darren in Flagstaff, Arizona. As we talk about tasers, should the San Francisco police have them, and should police officers have them? Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, I was a correction officer for 3 years in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Yes,
you know, like the other gentleman said there that you have to get trained with it and stuff, and I got trained with pepper spray. Now, I know I've been electrocuted before when I was a young kid, 17, 18 years old, and I didn't like that taser, but I would never, never in my life think about spraying a dog or anything with that pepper spray, and that hurt worse than that taser did. And this guy, I think, needs some psychiatric help, and I sure wouldn't want him watching my kids.
I understand that, but what I was trying to say is you got electrocuted. You weren't tased. If you had a taser, and you were a corrections officer, so you must have had one, you know what I mean, the great feeling of power that you get, right?
Yeah. No, he doesn't know what you mean. Nobody understands what you're saying, Dean. No, he doesn't. And that man worked corrections, so he's around convicts.
But you let him answer and not you answer?
All right, I'm sorry, Darren. Did you feel empowered by your taser?
No, listen. Yeah, I've been electrocuted by a taser when I was younger. I was a wild guy. You know, when I was growing up, and I would never. If I would have a taser in my hands right now, I would not even electrocute my neighbor. I wouldn't electrocute my dog. I would think twice about pepper spraying him. I've been pepper sprayed.
Why not?
And I would never in my life. Do that to somebody. In the 3 years that I worked in the corrections department, I've been certified in CERT team, and I would let somebody else do it because I did not want to do that to somebody, especially your
my son. Right. I can tell you, my son.
No, there's no way now I would go around doing that.
Well, my son got a hold of the taser, and I told him that you're not allowed to use that because I knew what it was doing to me. It was drawing me into a world of pure sadism. And my son insisted on using the taser, and fortunately I got it away from him. But I punished him, and I tape recorded it. And I guess you guys will think this is wrong. I waterboarded my own son.
You want to die?
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Because he got a hold of...
He got a hold of your taser, so you waterboarded your son.
Yes, I waterboarded my son after... See, it happened after I did this. All right, that's the gardener. And then my son went, huh, that's really bitching, Dad. I get really...
5 seconds of the worst pain that I...
What is that?
I don't know. What was that?
I don't know. What was that? World famous Phil Henry Show, and is our caller there? No, he's gone, and I don't blame him. We'll be back with our news hour next hour, Phil Henry Show.
No, I know what I said. I said, here, I said to my son, you know, and then...
Phil Henry.
Ow.